Jury selection. Well, jury selection is seldom an issue on appeal. It's not often an issue on appeal in state court, and it certainly isn't in federal court. And I tell trial lawyers that. That's because of the discretion given to trial judges. One of the courts said, of appeal said, that this is the ultimate discretion given to a trial judge in seating a jury. But sometimes your challenges for cause are not granted and you want to make some sort of record. Showing harm is very hard in federal court, particularly if you use a peremptory strike on the challenged juror, unsuccessfully challenged panel member rather, then that may solve the problem because there's no constitutional right to peremptory challenges. But that's what you have to do, is very much what we do in state court if you want to try to do it. And that is to say, well, I had to use my peremptory on this person who should have been excluded. And if I'd had my peremptory, I would have struck this person and give the reasons. So you can try that, but it's seldom going to succeed. Batson's different. If you have a Batson error, then that can be a reversal. I personally find it hard to keep track of Batson problems to figure out who they struck. So I think it's a good idea to try to assign watching for Batson rulings to somebody who's really paying attention, because these things happen very quickly. One of the things the judges really want to do is get the jury in the box. So they don't want to wait around for you to study the Batson issues before the jury is seated. So I would be careful about having somebody watch for that and see if there is a Batson problem that you can raise, because you need to raise it at that point. Another thing that I didn't realize until I had a federal court trial recently is the alternate juror practice is really gone in federal court. It doesn't exist anymore. So we sometimes think in federal court that you're putting more than six jurors in the box, so they're alternate jurors, but the rules say that they all should deliberate. So I would not allow anybody to leave who's still on the panel at the end of the trial. Now, I will say that in federal court, it is easier for the judge to remove a juror for good cause than it is in Texas, because we have very limited situations when a judge can let a juror go during the trial. That's more liberal in federal court, but there's not any alternate juror practice in federal court. So don't let anybody leave if they're still standing or sitting rather at the end of the trial. But otherwise, jury selection is not usually a grounds for any kind of reversal. All right, I mentioned the motion for judgment as a matter of law. The Unitherm case that I mentioned in the paper makes it very clear. If you don't do your JMOLs, then you're going to have some serious problems on appeal on sufficiency of evidence. The Supreme Court says even plain error is not available. Now, other courts have kind of backtracked on that, and they sometimes find exceptions. But you really need to do it. The rules make it very clear, and the comments to the rules make it very clear, that all you have to do is file a motion for judgment as a matter of law before the verdict. But there are some judges who still think, and this is a little irritating, who still think that you have to do it at the close of the plaintiff's case and at the close of all the evidence, because if you put on evidence, somehow there could be more evidence for the judge to consider, and you waived your initial JMOL motion. That is not true, but talk to your judge and find out what the judge wants. And plus, I think it's just a better practice to do it both times. There is an exception for pure legal issues. It's the same kind of exception I mentioned before, but it is a difficult standard to meet. And be sure to include all grounds. This is not something you just orally say. It's something you need to put in writing, because if you leave something out, you can't add it in later on. It's an essential thing to have. So be sure that you do your motion for judgment as a matter of law. Now, one case I got, they didn't do it, and I did it after the verdict. I renewed it. And the other side didn't object, and the judge considered my motion for JMOL. In that situation, some circuits, including the Fifth Circuit, will still consider the issue. So that's a way to wire around that. If you have no JMOLs, then you're going to have really a tough time. Okay, court's charge. As I said at the very beginning, always make sure that you make objections to any issues you have with the charge. Requests are not enough. The courts say, well, you're never entitled to request something in exactly these words. So you have to object as well as make a request. Now, request is needed when you have something omitted from the charge. I think requests are sometimes good for explanatory purposes. If the other side has messed some things up in the charge, and you may want to submit that as an explanation of what an alternative the judge could use, again, to try to give the judge an idea of what should be done. Also, address the charge problems at the time set by the judge. And here again, we have an issue where the rules and the practice may diverge.